Ah, well, let's turn to God's word, and we're just going to read seven verses. When I was given the topic of stepping out in faith to speak on, there's just one chapter that we could only turn to, and that's Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to read the first seven verses. I'm only going to deal with three of the characters that are appearing in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at Abel. And we'll look at Noah, and we'll just see how it goes then. But we won't go on to Moses and others, because I know you've got your lunch to get to, and it's important, isn't it? But as we spend time there, just look at the first seven verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that's what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. As I said, those are the only three we're going to look at, because he goes on to Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, and quite a lot. But we'll just spend time looking at those three in the time that we have this morning. And it's a chapter, of course, which speaks well of faith. And it deals with the faith that God has given to each of us. And in the process, the writer explains what faith is and is not. Part of the way in which he does this will shows how faith worked in the lives of real people like you and me. And so in this process will encourage us to that faith which is real. And God God has every intention of perfecting it or completing it in you and me, so that we're more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Let's look at the first three verses again. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The writer here gives us a definition of faith. And though it may not be exhaustive, it is certainly sufficient to give some insights into what we actually possess and how God intends to work in each of our lives. In the first verse, some version translate this as, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of the things not seen. Now, when we talk about faith being the substance of things hoped for, we must keep in mind that the writer is telling us that faith is not some cosmic, intangible force, but rather that there's a substance to it in the sense that it actually allows us to hold the eternal. I mean, it's a wow factor. God allows us to possess it with the express purpose of seeing the reality that lies ahead in Christ. We may not see it with our physical eyes, but we certainly see it with our spiritual eyes, which God has given to us in Christ. This faith, which is the assurance or substance of things hoped for, it isn't some pie in the sky. It's the method by which we can find hope for the future. Every one of us has a kind of faith. The unbeliever has a faith, which he puts into practice every day. They have a faith that their lives will carry on daily. They have a faith that their check will be in the bank at the end of the month. They have a faith that the car will get them back home after a day out. And this type of faith only relies on what you can see, like the promise of a gift at Christmas. You can talk to someone about making a promise to you and look right in their eyes and tell you what to expect for Christmas, and then lo and behold, you eventually see the gift. This kind of faith would even fit into the first part of our verse. Being sure of what we hope for. And that kind of faith will never rely on God, whom you cannot see. That kind of faith will never let go of self. This is why this faith we speak of must be supernatural and God-given. This type of faith will look beyond that which can be seen, and then trust in one whom we have not seen. The ways in which God has worked through the past, through the lives of others, is one reason why the writer fills this chapter with real, live people who are doing what you and I are doing. This faith is real to those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good as we place our faith in Him. This faith, you know, it's an amazing gift. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says this: "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. Your salvation is a gift. And part of that package is the gift of faith, and it is that gives you the ability to believe. Faith is what the child of God can rejoice in because it allows us to see it with spiritual eyes. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It is a leap, but one that is found in the light and the life that's found in Jesus. The writer of the book of Hebrews wants us to see and rejoice in this faith, and see how it changed the lives of others in history. And he begins with a broad band of people. In verse 2, described as ancients. Are we quite there yet? They're part of that group who are listed here in this chapter, and they are shown to be those who put their faith in God and promised Saviour. And these saints, three of which we're going to look at this morning, had a testimony. Their lives gave witness to the fact that the unseen God was the one that they trusted. They lived by faith. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We might well think here why the introduction to creation is introduced. Well, what does creation have to do with faith? What does creation have to do with the faith of men we are going to look at in this chapter? Our faith is worked out in a world which God created. If God is the creator, then he could only be a saviour. To place faith in God as saviour leads you to the place of God as creator. He's almighty, and he holds us in the hollow of his hand. What a wonderful God we've got. This is where the non-believer has difficulties. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 we read, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. God did not take existing matter to create the world. Everything that was made came from nothing. This is the God that I trust for my salvation. This is an all-powerful God. And this is the God that says, peace be still. What we need to do is to put our trust and faith in him. I did it more than 56 years ago. And I have embraced him by faith. Let's move on. Let's move on and look at the three example characters he leaves with us to look at in the lives of the ancients and see their faith at work. The first ancient mentioned here is Cain. We read that two offerings were brought to God. One was accepted, the other wasn't. Both these men were coming to worship God with the purpose of bowing before him and giving up their sacrifices. Cain worshipped God in vain because although he honoured God with his lips, his heart was far from him. There was a right and a wrong way to worship God. And it comes from faith in God and obedience to his will, which shows the faith. Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted because he was wicked and that his offering was not brought by faith. Abel, however, had a better sacrifice than Cain because he was righteous, of which came partly from the lamb that he had sacrificed, but also the faith and obedience which came with the animal did suffice. That's why God was pleased with him. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible without faith to please God. And the difference between the two brothers here is that Cain brought his offering without faith, while Abel did. Cain's sacrifice, the fruit of the ground, wasn't accepted because it wasn't given in faith. Some perhaps argue that his sacrifice would have been accepted by God if it had been given in faith, but we don't know. Abel's offering, however, was accepted because it was a true sacrifice. He bought the firstling of the flock. Blood was shed. And if you read the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis, you'll see that Cain had sin as his master. And even after Cain brought an offering he knew was not right, God still offered grace and mercy to him. Cain wouldn't bow. Instead, murder came to the forefront. And he killed the one that was righteous. Abel lived by faith in God. In his death, his life became full. He knew that by faith his life wasn't in this temporal world, but to be heavenward bound in God's presence. He, through his witness of a life of faith, resembles one who has run the race, finished the course, and received the reward. His existence, now in the presence of God, assures us that we too will gain the inheritance that Christ has promised us. So much for Cain and Abel. Let's now have a look at Enoch. And let's establish first that this is not Cain's son, but the father of Methuselah. At the age of 65, I'm 67, and he lived for 365 years. Yeah, I've still got a bit to go. But here we have in the story of Enoch here, what has happened here is that Enoch was just living his life, a life which he trusted in God, a life that showed faith being placed in God along with trust. After living 365 years, his family looked for him. And he was gone. He didn't die. He was just physically taken. Without physically dying. He was one of the first to be taken like this, but not the last. Elijah, for one, comes to mind. But Enoch pleased God, and that was his reward that God gave to him. He didn't taste death. Enoch was used as an exemplary example of what it is to live by faith in God. Enoch walked with God in a way that was obvious to those who came in contact with him that God was his master. God was his Lord and God was his Savior. He reflected God and relied on the Lord for everything and gave God glory. What a man. And at this point, it's interesting to know that if Abel was righteous and pleased God, why wasn't he taken the way, the same way as Enoch? And indeed, this question could be asked of the rest of us who have walked the path in a world which isn't home. It has to be said that this is an exception to the rule. And Enoch is the exception, which speaks of a better way of life. A life of no pain, no end, no death. A life inhabited by God, and it's satisfying that God will do the same for us one day. He's pleased with us that we trust his Son to be our salvation over sin, and also to that resurrection life. If these two men that we've looked at, we can see that Abel triumphs over death by submission to it. In Enoch, we see life triumphing over death. Abel, through faith, being dead, yet speaks. Enoch speaks as the one who always lives. Abel, death leads to life. Enoch, life never dies. In Abel, we see Christ crucified. In Enoch, we see Christ glorified. And through all this, we must remember that Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every believer should please God with delight when we place our faith in Christ. That's what we've done. It's great to think that my life of faith pleases the Creator. The Father said of his Son, in him I well pleased. Just as Jesus pleased the Father, so too we must please him through Christ. Cain and Abel, Enoch, let's have a look at Noah. Probably if we went out there and talked to the children about Noah, they would know about him. He's probably the most well known as to those of us who have been brought up with the ark story. And there's just one verse here. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. But his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that comes by faith. The first thing we notice here is that something moved Noah into action. And it was a warning from God about the desolation that was to take place. God was going to judge the earth. The people at that time had become so hardened towards God. The one true God they rejected. They had no faith in him. God wasn't even a consideration. And if we had time this morning, we'd love to read Genesis chapter 6. In all this wickedness that was so prevalent, there stands Noah. A man who looked to God by faith. Why did God consider Noah to this calling? Noah was a righteous man and was trusting God by faith. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The building of the ark was a great act of faith for Noah. But what stands out more is his desire to please God and walk in faith when no one else would. And this was seen even before God told him to build the ark. When we live by that same faith that Noah had, seek the Lord and please him, an amazing thing happens. God speaks to us, reveals himself to us so clearly. Can you imagine when God revealed his will to Noah? He said that there was going to be a flood. Up till now, there were no such things as floods. No such thing as rain. We read in this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 and 6. At this point, Noah must be boggled. No rain. This sort of thing had never happened before. But Noah was living by faith. and because of his great faith. If you trust God and he says it's going to rain to such a degree that it's going to cover the earth, you accept it by faith and do whatever God asks. Faith always has feet. Noah, in his faith, obeyed by doing what God had told him to do, which was to build an ark and save his family. He walked with God. He obeyed God. He talked with God. And Noah's faith was supernatural, which was given to him by God. But what he did with that faith was vital. And had he not obeyed, mankind would have been wiped out. We too are considered righteous by faith in him and saved. God still gives us the means to walk with him by faith. If we only have faith that is in word and deed only, then what kind of faith have we got? God always honors those who honor him. Now, Abraham had the same faith as Noah did. And more than likely someday that will be revealed to us as well if we have the opportunity to look how faith revealed itself to Abraham. But James says that faith without works shows a faith that is not a saving faith or a trusting one. It's dead. Let me ask you, are we willing to trust our Lord? We won't be asked to build an ark because the rainbow promise has come. But we may be asked to go out into prisons. We may be asked to help the homeless. Do we have the faith to do that? Whatever our ark may be, like Noah, we must be obedient. Oh, God knows our frailties. He certainly knows mine and my weaknesses. And he will strengthen us ready for the task. And don't we moan sometimes? I won't ask you to put your hands up because I'm sure they'll all be up. Don't we moan? I tell you what, I am sure Noah moaned. Perhaps just on the odd occasion when that plank wouldn't quite fit. He had worked on this boat for 100 years. It was a spectacle. It was probably the national trust of their day. People coming from all over the world to see this thing. And don't forget, his family labored over this for over 100 years. The statistics are remarkable. This guy is remarkable. He was 500 when he had his first son, Shem. He was 600 when the flood came, so he must be 480 when he started building. 20 years before Shem was born. The public had 120 years to see this first wonder of the world and probably had travelled hundreds of miles to see it. No photography. So probably someone was there with a sheepskin etching the family portrait for them to take home. Kidding apart. I'm sure it was a circus with a disbelieving world scoffing at him. They, like Noah, had never seen a flood. But unlike Noah, he did see the way forward through a faith in God. There is such a parallel in this story for us today. What makes the gospel good news is the fact that there is such bad news from which to be saved. And the bad news, Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. We all fall short of God's glory. That's the bad news. The good news, God hated sin so much, and yet he loved us. He gave us everything. He gave us all. He gave us Jesus to die that we might be free. It all comes back to faith. Unless we place our faith in Jesus, we perish. Do you see how similar the story is to Noah? A story full of salvation. And finally, Noah showed one thing that was interesting from which we can learn. And if anybody needs it, I do. Patience. He was on the go for 120 years at this task, and he was faithful to God and obedient to God until the work was complete. You and I are called to live by faith, and it's not easy. We try to be patient as we trust God, and yet temptations come. We try to build our own way sometimes without resting in Christ. Without patience, it's hard to endure. But without putting our faith into practice in Christ, our patience is a fruit that won't grow. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. We have been called not to build an ark, but to extend the kingdom of God through his word. The only people that encouraged Noah, and this is an interesting fact, were his family. By faith he went forward. We're part of God's family. And we too must move on together through faith in him. Each day, facing opposition, facing discouragement, facing unbelief. But let's look forward to the day when Christ goes back for us. God is still on his throne. And if you're in Christ, he'll never leave you or forsake you. If Noah had the words from Isaiah and accepted them through faith, he would have been encouraged. Let's take them for ourselves as I close, as we step out in faith. And let them be the last word of this message. Isaiah 40:29-32. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Shall we?